President Ulysses Grant was being shown the new game of golf. He had never played golf before. So there's a man from Scotland who teed up a ball on the lawn and was going to demonstrate how you address the ball and all about the game of golf. And so the ball was teed up and the Scot reared back and swung and missed the ball but kicked up a lot of dirt all into President Grant's beard and all over him. And he apologized and he reared back and tried again. And after the sixth try, President Grant said, "There seems to be a fair amount of exercise in the game, but I fail to see the purpose of the ball." I think about that story when I think about purpose. Purpose. What's the purpose of the ball in golf? Some of us have asked that same question. But also like George Bernard Shaw's statement, "This is the true joy in life, the being used for a purpose recognized by yourself as a mighty one, the being thoroughly worn out before you're thrown on the scrap heap, and being a force of nature instead of a feverish, selfish little clod of ailments and grievances, complaining that the world will not devote itself to making you happy." Surely there is no greater joy than to realize a great purpose for our lives. And it's that I'd like for us to consider this morning. What is our purpose? In light of what the scriptures teach about the body of Christ. That's the imagery that we'll be using today as the Apostle Paul used it in the text that Jonathan read for us from Ephesians 4. So I invite you to keep your Bibles open at that text. But he discusses the body of Christ and our place within it. And what we learn from it is that we were created to be a member of the body of Christ. God wants each of us to be in his family, the church. And when we accept God's invitation to follow Jesus and be saved, then we are added to his family, the church. Acts chapter 2, for example. Peter preaches the gospel of Jesus Christ to the very ones who had cried out for Jesus' crucifixion. And realizing that they had crucified the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, they cried out, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And Peter responded, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." In Acts 2:41, those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them, added to the number of disciples, added to constitute the church, the family of God. God, we were created to be a member of the family of God. That's what God desires from us. That's where God wants us. As we noted recently, some say, "I don't need the church." But that is so unbiblical. Nowhere in Scripture will you find that a believer is not also a belonger. We belong in God's family. That's where he wants us. "Now you Gentiles," Paul would write to these Ephesians, "are not foreigners or strangers any longer, but are citizens together with God's holy people." You belong to God's family. So again, this helps us answer, who am I? Where do I belong? Two fundamental questions that each and every human being will ask at one point in his or her life. Who am I and where do I belong? And what we see from this passage, what we see from Scripture, is that we belong in God's family. Again, that's where he wants us. Jesus died so that we could become a member of his family. You were made to be in God's family, the church. The provision has been made. Jesus died for you so that you can do it. It's up to us to accept God's invitation. And when you accept his invitation, he adds you to his family. When you're baptized into Christ, born again, you're born into the family of God. In our text, Paul speaks of God's family in terms of a body. Because we see in the book of Ephesians, when he speaks of the body of Christ, he's speaking of the church. The church is the body of Christ. It's a common imagery that Paul uses. 1 Corinthians 12, Romans 12, Ephesians 4, three classic examples. You were therefore made, created to be a member of the body of Christ. Just as we're baptized into God's family, we're baptized into one body. 1 Corinthians 12:13. By one Spirit were we all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. So again, when we're baptized, we become members of the body of Christ. Now that imagery, thinking of the church as the body of Christ, teaches us a lot of things. It teaches us about the unity that we should experience within the body of Christ. But it also speaks very much to the function of the member of the body, each member of the body of Christ. So we were created to be a member of the body of Christ, but we were created to be a functioning member of the body of Christ. Notice with me some passages in Ephesians 4. Beginning with verse 11, Paul points out some gifts of leadership and why God gave those gifts. Look with me to verses 11 and 12. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for, there's the purpose, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Or to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ, the church, may be built up or edified. So God gave certain leadership gifts so that the saints can be perfected, they can mature, and in turn will enable the saints to serve or to minister, which will result in the building up of the body of Christ, the church. We were made, created, and recreated in Christ to be a functioning member of his body, the church. That word equipping or preparing comes from a word which means to complete thoroughly. It's used in Matthew chapter 4 for the mending of nets. In other words, making those nets useful and serviceable again. And so here we see that this same idea is used. We are created to be members of the body of Christ, and we're usable, we're serviceable. We are equipped to serve, to minister as different members of the body of Christ. You see, God's plan for the church is for every member to be a minister or a servant. Every member to be a minister or servant. A lot of times the size of a congregation is known by the number of people on staff. How would you like this response? Someone asks one of you, how many ministers do you have at your congregation? And your answer is about 300. Wow, that must be a huge congregation. How many members do you have? About 300. Because every member is a minister, in that every member has a function. Every member serves. Every member has a particular gift and talent that's to be used for the benefit of the whole body in serving our God in this world. God wants every member to be a minister. He compares the church to the human body to illustrate how members must work together. There must be that cooperation as each member performs its function. Look with me, let's zero in on verse 16. From him, that is from Christ, the head of the body, from which we take our direction, as our bodies take direction from the brain, even so the members of the body of Christ take direction from the head of the body, which is Christ. From him, the whole body, and that is the church, the body of Christ, joined and held together by every supporting ligament. And that speaks to the cohesion how we're connected within the body of Christ. I remember several years ago, one of my children called me to look at the computer and to watch a video. And the video was of a man by the name of Louis Giglio, who was speaking about how marvelous our human bodies are, how they're wonderfully made, Psalm 139. He talked about how we can trust the God who created our physical bodies, who has the power to hold it all together, not only in our bodies, but the whole universe. And then he started to speak about laminin. Laminin. Now, Wikipedia, that infamous source, defines laminin with these terms. Laminins are a family of proteins that are an integral part of the structural scaffolding of basement membranes in almost every animal tissue. Now, what does that mean? Laminins are what hold us together, literally. Some of us are saying, I must be missing a few laminins. They're what hold us together. They're cell adhesion molecules. Without them, our cells wouldn't hold together. We'd literally fall apart. So laminins are what hold us together. You know what the cell structure of the laminin molecule looks like? I know you want to know. Here's what the structure of laminin looks like. And what impressed me and what Louis Giglio was pointing out, isn't that interesting that the adhesion molecule that holds our bodies together is in the form of a cross? It's in the form of the cross. The glue that holds our bodies together is in the shape of a cross. And folks, the glue that joins us together and holds us together by every supporting ligament is also in the shape of a cross. It's the cross of Christ who died for us so that we can become members of his body and be held together by him. And back to Ephesians 4 in verse 16, it says that we're joined and held together to this intent that it grows, that the body grows and builds itself up. Grows, King James, maketh increase of the body. It refers to growing. And as far as the body of Christ, the church, growing in number, yes, but in strength and in maturity. Grows and builds itself up. And that word also translated edifying of itself. Edify, build up. It refers literally to building a house, and metaphorically it means to promote the spiritual growth and development of character of believers by teaching or example. And this is all within the body of Christ. We're joined together by Christ, and we're to work together, cooperate, using each of our talents and abilities to cause growth of the body and to build it up and not tear it down. But grows and builds itself up, notice, in love. Love is the circulatory system. Love is that which permeates each member and provides that life. Love provides the environment in which growth is possible. And that's why we read so many passages that talk about how love must be the governing response of our relationships within the body of Christ. Do everything in love. 1 Corinthians 16:14. Love is that circulatory system that keeps the body alive and growing. But the last phrase, as each part does its work. As each part does its work. We were created to be members of the body of Christ. And not only that, functioning members of the body of Christ. And that means each and every member, no matter how great or how small we think our talents are, we all have talents and gifts. We all have opportunities to serve. Every member has a function in the body. And members must work together to function effectively. These gifts that have been given to us are not for personal benefit or enjoyment or glory, but rather to help and benefit the body as a whole. And so the body doesn't function correctly unless every member is doing its part. And when each member fulfills his or her special function, the body, the church, grows. So if we want the church to be all that God intends for it to be, if we want the church to mature so that it will be built up and grow, then each member must discover his or her function in the life of the body and faithfully carry it out as he receives instruction from the Word of God. To sum it up, we say, you were made for a mission. You and I were all made for a mission. And in terms of the body of Christ, that's why God designed the church. Then when we surrender our lives in obedience to His will, He adds us to the family, this organism, this body that's to be Christ's hands, Christ's feet, Christ's mouth on this earth in accomplishing the purposes for which God designed it. But that's not fulfilled until each and every member of the body of Christ is doing what he or she can. We're being challenged to find a place, find our niche, to find those ways in which we can serve, to become a part, a functioning part of the body of Christ, so that God's will can be accomplished on this earth. You were made for a mission. And folks, it's the greatest mission on earth to be a member of the body of Christ, to serve as a functioning member of that body in fulfilling God's purposes. There's no greater work because it has eternal implications. And because of that, this work is worthy of the very best of our time, our talents, and our treasures. You're created. You were created to be a member of the body of Christ. Have you accepted that invitation to become involved in the greatest work on earth? If you're ready now to surrender your life in obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ, to put the Lord on in baptism, and at the same moment He adds you to His family, the body of Christ, and expects all of us to be functioning members, to do our part, to help the body grow and to help it grow not only in number, but in maturity and in strength. We hope and pray that you'll realize that purpose in your life. And if you're ready to obey the gospel and be baptized into Christ, we're ready this morning to assist you. If you need the prayers of the church, if you've been out of duty, you haven't been a functioning member, and need to recommit your life to serving God through the body of Christ, then let that be known. If you need to respond to the invitation of Christ, please come right now as we stand and sing.